The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, January 22nd, and is sponsored by Round Bank of New Prague.
Good morning. As the people in the back make their way in for worship, I told them I would say that some Sunday. Just a few announcements. Flowers today are from the memorial service on Friday for Dallas Bonesock. This was a full house. Dallas was a well-known person in this community, a leader, and in so many ways, civically and in this congregation. I just want to say I was so impressed by this congregation and the way that it welcomed people, and that it came together to do what was an extraordinarily large funeral. So we had people at the door greeting every single person that came in. We had lots of people working in the kitchen, Audrey Johnson and her crew, and so many, too many to name, certainly. People who served as ushers. I've never seen anything quite like it, and I was very proud to say that I was affiliated with this congregation. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Let us begin with the order for confession and forgiveness on the front cover of the worship section or on the screen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. We take a moment of silence for reflection. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah, the 9th chapter. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here ends the reading.
The Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. I think it's safe to say that Jesus didn't envision congregations like this one, or really like any modern contemporary congregation. Jesus didn't envision having annual meetings like we will in a little bit and throwing up numbers on a big screen and then voting on a budget for the coming year, which, by the way, even though Jesus didn't imagine it, it's still important, and you should stay for the annual meeting. I'm quite sure Jesus didn't envision Lutherans. I'm not even sure that Jesus envisioned this many followers scattered throughout the world. We'll never know until we have a chance to ask him. And Jesus certainly didn't envision Minnesota in January, even during this lovely but short-lived January thaw. But what Jesus did envision, and we can be sure of this, Jesus did envision a community. Virtually right away, he called together a community, including these first four who we hear about today, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I have to confess, and maybe you could hear a little bit of snarkiness in my children's message, I really don't like these stories of Jesus gathering up these first bunch of disciples. I want to think this is more Matthew's interpretation than what Jesus actually did. Let me tell you why these are irritating to me. Matthew reminds us that Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, I actually like that and think that part is very, very important. To repent is to simply go in a different direction, to turn and walk in a different direction, or to have a change of heart. Think about how important that is. We go through that on a daily basis, right? And Jesus is affirming that in us. Jesus calls people to do this because God is doing something new. The kingdom is near. That's pretty exciting. There's hope, right, in repentance. But then Jesus comes up to these people who are out fishing, doing their daily work, and makes this call to follow and says, "Come and fish for people." Fish for people. What does that mean? And the four of them, well, they just do it. They immediately leave their nets like they are entranced or something with this Jesus person. So the problem I have is that there's really no way for us to relate to this story. I have two issues. First, we don't think of discipleship like we'd think of fishing, right? And that became apparent in the children's message. We don't catch people. We don't hook them or net them for Jesus. At least I don't think we do. Doesn't mean we don't engage them. We do engage. And we just aren't that impulsive, are we? We don't get up and go that quickly, especially when it comes to giving up our life or means of making a living for someone we just met that day. That said, there really, really is something here for us, I believe. Just like there are two things that frustrate or irritate me about this story, there are a couple of things here that I think are really important. First, there is the fact that Jesus builds a community right away. Jesus is not a lone ranger. He's in charge. He's the leader. He's the rabbi, the teacher. And by Jesus calling disciples or followers, Jesus reminds us that he doesn't, nor should we, do faith alone. Your presence here today, I think, is some indication that you would agree with that fact, because today, this morning at least, you are not doing faith alone. That doesn't mean that you can't be a follower of Jesus when you are by yourself. Certainly that is true. But that can't be all we do, right? And so Jesus calls together a community, but not just a community actually of relative strangers. And this is key. It would have been safer for Jesus to be with family and friends and people he knew well. Instead, from the very beginning, there is a commitment to growing a diverse community, and that continues to spread in a variety of ways. You know, I treasure my family and my group of close friends. Some of us are going to gather for a wonderful football game at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I know that most of you don't really care about that, but I know I have some friends in the audience. I love my family, right? But I also need to be part of a community that stretches me to move outside of my comfort zone. There's no better community when we are being faithful with which to do this than a community of faith. I know that through my involvement in a variety of congregations, and some of you have been involved in others besides this one, but you and I both know that there are people with whom we have come into contact that we never would have met if we hadn't been part of a faith community. We get comfort and support as we walk through life together. The funeral on Friday was evidence of that, for sure. But we also, I hope, we also get stretched to grow. The second part of this story is the call, the invitation to follow. Before there is a community, there is a call. This was true for the first disciples, and it is true for us. We are called into relationship, and we are called into a community. I read something interesting recently written by David Lowe, a pastor and professor. He talked about being called in a couple of ways. The most common understanding is, and one that we can relate to, is being called to do something. The disciples were called to go with Jesus, to fish for people. There had to be a reason that they went along with Jesus, even though it doesn't say so in the story. There had to be some trust, but they are called, right, to do something. I think most of us understand what it is to be called in this way, especially. We are called to enter into relationship with another. We are called to learn. We are called to support our family members and raise our children. We are called to make a living. We are called to volunteer. We are called to citizenship. We are called to do. And most of the time, we do all these things because we trust that there is a benefit for us and for others. But there is something, actually, that we are called to before we are called to do anything. We are called to be. Who we are and what we do are not the same thing. We are called to be, and I think you know what I'm going to say, we are called to be children of God. And baptism, of course, is the mark of this promise. It is a free gift. It is trusting in this promise, then, that allows us to respond to the various calls to serve God and God's people and God's creation. But first, we are called to be. It comes back around again, though, because God's call is not only to individuals, but also to communities like Holy Trinity. And before we are called to do anything, we are called to be a place where all are welcome and where we remind each other continually of what it means to be children of God. And then where we are able to respond to the call by partnering with God in a variety of ways through our mission and ministry here. Before we are asked to do anything, we are reminded again and again who we are and whose we are, God's beloved people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We join in confessing the faith of the Church through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He descended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Peace, but don't go far. We will reconvene in about less than 10 minutes for the annual meeting. Serve the Lord.